speaker is Professor Jean-Paul from the Institute of Advanced Study, Princeton, and he will speak on new results on Green's functions and spectra for discrete Schrödinger operator. Jean,
please. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank the organizers for the invitation. So I understand they will have two talks. One, the first talk can be technical and the second talk more expository, but since this is not very practical, what I propose is to do two talks which are pretty much expository. And so if you don't know too much about this or nothing about this field, you're not going to learn it in 40 minutes or two times 40 minutes. But what I want to do is just to give you a flavor of what it is about and maybe advertise some of the best-known open questions just in case you would decide, try to make a living out of that, and then somehow you know where to look for. So the general topic is that of lattice Schrödinger operators with the quasi-periodic potential. And, well, there are several aspects I will indicate. The first is, strictly speaking, the usual quasi-periodic lattice Schrödinger operators, like going back to the works of Hofstadter and Peierls, with, best known, the so-called almost Mathieu model, the extensions of it. I don't know if you can read that. I mean, I'm sure I can do a better act without transparency, so give me a chance to use the blackboard. But if it's too small, I'll write bigger. Okay. What we are referring here to are issues, spectral issues, like Anderson localization, etc. I will explain you more about that in a moment. So, the second topic is that of linear Schrödinger equations with a time-dependent potential. So linear Schrödinger equations with a periodic or quasi-periodic time-dependent potential. And the third is KM theory for PDEs. Now, I will probably not talk at all about that. If you are interested, there is an expository talk in the last Bourbaki seminar by Perez Marco, the June session. I have the text here if you want to have a look at that. And in particular, the emphasis is how one can give basically want a new approach to KM theory using methods which have been developed essentially for the purpose of studying spectral issues of these quasi-periodic Schrödinger operators for mathematical physics. So that I probably will not touch at all. As far as the second topic concerns, if I have the time to talk about it, I will mainly discuss what is called the quantum kicked rotor model. this probably will be next time. Now, the quantum kicked rotor model is some model which is rather popular, has been studied in the context of quantum chaos. Basically, the quantum kicked rotor model is a quantum version of the so-called classical standard map. And, well, contrary to the standard map, what one expects for the quantum kicked rotor model is that there is in fact no quantum chaos and that solutions behave in an almost periodic way. And part of this conjecture also has been proved using, again, methods which relate to Anderson localization for lattice operators with quasi-periodic potential. So I will, hopefully I will talk, you will talk a little bit about that, and I will advertise some important open problems. So this is more on dynamical system direction. Okay, now most of the new results I'm going to talk about are joint work with Michael Goldstein, Svetlana Jitomirskaya, and Willem Schlag, or a subset of this group of people, which can be the empty set. I will not systematically give you all the, I mean, people responsible for the main step in the historical development. Just try to restrict to a few names. So, I mean, this is certainly not a measure for the amount of credit of different people to that field. So what I will do, what I want to say also is that when I say new results, what is really new, well, there are new results, but what is certainly new is the technology. So there are two, how do you say, recurrent themes on the technological level. The first is an extensive use of subharmonic function theory. And the second one is the use of, quantitative aspects of semi-algebraic set theory. This semi-algebraic set theory is an extremely powerful tool because basically with essentially zero knowledge about the particular features of the set, as long as you know that it is given by only few polynomials of, say, in a fixed number of variables and of not too high degree, you can immediately say lots of things. Because there is some kind of general structure theory, to mention you one typical result in this context is the uniformization theorem of Yomdin, which tells you that basically you can describe the whole semi-algebraic set using a number of charts, which is only bounded, say, power-like in the degree if you have a fixed number of variables. And on each of these charts, the semi-algebraic set is described by a smooth map, at least smooth up to a certain order, which you have completely under control. So this is an extremely powerful tool, and it allows you to do things essentially without calculating any derivatives, where on the other hand, earlier arguments using, say, a more explicit analysis were extremely technical and tedious because they involved, say, high derivatives, etc., based on specific structure which can in fact be avoided by just using all the stability theory and the properties of the semi-algebraic sets. So these are two recurrent themes which basically are present in any of these arguments. So let us start with something which is completely classical. If we are talking about quasi-periodic Schrödinger operators, the most of the literature has been developed around this almost Mathieu model. And so this is the following thing. You have a matrix. It's an infinite matrix on Z, H, which is the following. So you have a parameter lambda here, cosine and omega plus theta. So it's diagonal here. You have lambda cosine and omega plus theta on the diagonal, plus an off-diagonal operator, which is the simplest off-diagonal operator, which is called the lattice Laplacian. So delta n in prime is equal to 1 if n minus n prime is 1 and 0 otherwise. So can you read this? This is not too small. I mean, you can try to write bigger, but then... Okay. So this is a model that has been introduced by various people. The best known papers in these connections are papers by Hofstadter and Piles. And, where it comes from, essentially, it comes from studying a Bloch electron in a magnetic field. This is not so important. Now, this particular model is really an extremely instructive or sometimes non-instructive one in terms of understanding spectral issues of this, of Hilbert space, in particular, this class of Hilbert space operators, which you may call Hilbert space operators, which are associated, so they depend on a parameter, and they are associated to some dynamical system, because what happens is that if you conjugate H with the shift, and you see H as a function of theta, what's going to happen is that you're going to get the same H, except that there is a shift, theta by theta plus omega. This is what you call a Schrödinger operator, which is associated to a dynamical system. So what is quite interesting here, so here the spectral picture is rather clear, and there is a phase transition at lambda equals 2, so the theorem there is the following. If lambda is bigger than 2, so this is a statement, yeah, let's be precise. Let's write for typical omega and theta, which means for omega theta in a set of measure 1, and you can, if you want, you can take theta equals 0 and take omega in a set of measure 1. Okay? If you take omega rational or Liouville, then the statement wouldn't be true. But it's certainly true for omega in a set of measure 1. And in fact, you can make much more precise arithmetical statements. So for almost omega, and theta, if lambda is bigger than 2, there is pure point spectrum. With Anderson localization. Now, what means Anderson localization? Well, it means that if you look at the eigenvectors, not only they are in if you look at extended states, not only they are in L2, but they will be very fast, very quickly decaying. They will be exponentially decaying. So Anderson localization means pure point spectrum with eigenfunctions which are exponentially fast decaying. Now, this exponential decay does not need to be uniform, and in fact it's not uniform, but some exponential decay. So that is for lambda larger than 2. For lambda equals 2, there is pure singular continuous spectrum. And for lambda less than 2, you have pure absolutely continuous spectrum. Heuristically, what makes sense is that if lambda is big, then somehow the diagonal is going to dominate, and so you're going to get pure point spectrum, and if lambda would be 0, the Laplacian obviously has absolutely continuous spectrum. But it's far from obvious that by taking lambda large enough, you're going to hit pure point spectrum, and for lambda small enough, absolutely continuous spectrum. And actually, what is remarkable here is that you have this very specific behavior with a phase transition at lambda equals 2. Now, I want to make several comments about that result. First, No, this I won't define. I mean, they'll go back to your undergraduate education or... well, I mean, if you really insist, you look at the spectral measure, right? And it just means that your spectral measure is going to be purely atomic or purely absolutely continuous, etc. So, of course, I mean, one has to describe how to associate to a self-adjoint operator spectral measure. So, I mean, I'm sure you know that. So, I mean, actually the truth is that, you know, the funny thing is that I did prove results about Anderson localization without really being fully familiar with the spectral theory of self-adjoint operators. So I learned that afterwards. And so there is certainly not... what's that?
Those are founded operators.
Yeah, there is not... But it doesn't mean that it's trivial. I mean... So... The spectral measure simply, the spectral type simply means that you're looking at spectral measures. You can look at the maximal spectral type. And in this case, the spectral measures are purely atomic. In this case, they are purely singular continuous. And in that case, they are purely absolutely continuous. Okay. Now, let me give you some credits. Some, first of all, the main contributions here. Let me first mention that what you have here is a non-perturbative result. This is a very important thing. It means that, of course, you have to restrict omega theta, because if omega is rational, you're always going to have absolutely continuous spectrum. But if you restrict outside the set of measure zero, say, then these conditions are totally independent of the kind of restrictions you make. So if you prefer, if you would restrict omega in an arithmetic way, the quality of the Diophantine condition you put in, that is not going to affect these numbers. Earlier results, they were of the type, well, if you want to have it for all omega except for a set of measure at most epsilon, then you have to assume to get your pure point spectrum that lambda is going to be bigger than a lambda epsilon is going to increase when you want epsilon go to zero. So initial results along these lines are, of course, the works of Sinai and independently Froelich, Spencer, Widwer. And the actual result, like it stands there, for lambda bigger than 2, is a more recent work due to Jitomirskaya, and also based on completely different methods. The methods which are underlying there, I hope to have maybe a moment to discuss a little bit in the next talk. I probably won't come to that today. The interesting thing is that that approach is substantially easier than the perturbative approaches a la Sinai or Froelich, Spencer, Whitwer. There we are talking about 60-page papers, which are not easy to read, and this is something like 10 pages, so there is definitely some simplifications there. Also, it gives you a much stronger result. Now, lambda equals 2 is a result due to... Gordon, Jitomirskaya, Last, and Simon. And the absolutely continuous spectrum follows, in fact, from lambda bigger than 2 by duality. Now, there is one important name which is associated to this field, which goes back to the very beginnings of this theory, which is Aubry. And there is something called Aubry duality. Now, Aubry duality works in general, but here what it does is that it really gives you a jump, a passage from the lambda bigger than 2 to the lambda less than 2 case. Essentially, what is Aubry duality? It's like taking a Fourier transform. So, what happens if you look at the Fourier transform of this? Well, so you are on Z, you take the Fourier transform of the Laplacian, what you're going to get is 2 times cosine. And then you take the Fourier transform of this guy, and what you're going to get is lambda over 2 Laplacian. So after passing to Fourier transform, what you see is that you get the same, but lambda went to 4 over lambda. Now, basically, if you do this Fourier transform operation, to make it simple, assume that you have Anderson localization, so you have exponentially localized eigenfunctions. In particular, their Fourier transform will be, you'll get nice functions on the circle. And I didn't explain you, there's a little bit more than just taking Fourier transform. If you use that to get into the spectrum of the transform model, what is going to give you are extended states. So in other words, the presence, if you have an Anderson localization phenomenon for the given model, after doing your breed duality, you're going to get a model with a continuous spectrum. So that explains why, if you know lambda bigger than 2, this statement, at least you're going to get continuous spectrum if lambda is less than 2, simply because of this formula here. An interesting feature is that, and this is why this model is not so typical, you have these three regimes there, and in each of these three regimes, there is only one spectral type. Here there is pure point, there is absolutely singular continuous, there is absolutely continuous. Now, this is non-typical in the sense that if I put you here another function than the cosine, then, well, it's very well conceivable that for certain lambdas, you may have a mixture of continuous and point spectrum. And in fact, this can be shown. So, roughly speaking, the picture there is still that if lambda is big, you're going to keep your Anderson localization. If lambda is small, absolutely continuous spectrum. But in an intermediate regime, you could have a mixture of different spectral types. And I will come back on that. The third thing I want to discuss, which is a very important concept in this theory, is that of Lyapunov exponent. So for these particular one-dimensional models with a Laplacian, you can introduce what is called the transfer matrix. So the transfer matrix at step n is just the following matrix in SL2R. You take the product for n going from n to 1, and here you get your potential, which is lambda. So that depends on E. Depends on theta, depends on E. What you're going to get is lambda cosine n omega plus theta minus E minus 1, 1, 0. So the norm of this mn as a function of theta may grow exponentially fast, then you're talking about positive exponents, roughly speaking. In any way, what you do is that you take the logarithm of that, you integrate in theta on the circle, you normalize by 1 over n. By the superadditivity theorem, this has a limit. It's basically a decreasing sequence. So it has a limit, and this limit is called the Lyapunov exponent at the energy E. Now, if the Lyapunov exponent is positive, then what you get is the absence of absolutely continuous spectrum, but it does not imply yet that you have pure point spectrum. Now, the transition point here, lambda equals 2, corresponds to the vanishing of the Lyapunov exponent on the spectrum. So if lambda is bigger than 2, you're going to have a Lyapunov exponent, which is going to be positive. That does not imply necessarily that you have pure point spectrum, but it implies it at least in this context and also in a more general in a more general setting, it implies it for typical omega and theta. Now, what is the role lambda equals 2? Well, in this case, just to advertise, this was the very beginning, say the role of subharmonic function theory. There is a theorem, basically it's an observation, but it's quite important, by Michel Herman, which tells you that in the case of the almost Mathieu model, LE is at least the logarithm of lambda over 2. And in fact, there is a more precise statement now, which is going to appear in a joint paper with Dieter Miskaya. What you can prove is that LE is, in fact, the maximum of 0 and log lambda over 2 for all omega irrational and for all E in the spectrum. Now observe that this explains you somehow the transition at lambda equals 2, because it's exactly when, because of this formula, this Lyapunov exponent is going to vanish. Now, as I said, to show such a thing, this is perhaps the most simple application of subharmonic function theory. Basically, once you know that has to be used, it's an exercise, because what you do is that you write cosine theta, as 1 half z plus 1 over z, where z is ei theta. And then you can get a matrix which depends holomorphically on z by multiplying every factor with z. Okay? So then you're going to get above lambda z squared plus 1 minus ez z minus z, z, 0. Actually, one has to be a little bit careful here. What you're going to get is, in fact, e at the power 2i n omega, e at the power I n omega z squared plus e minus I n omega minus ez minus e. Okay, so you have to take like this. And then you have to take the product of that. Now, this is an analytic matrix-valued function. The integral of the logarithm is going to be at least the evaluation at 0. If you take z equals 0, what you're going to get is simply the matrix lambda 0, 0, 0 at the power n. And the norm of this is going to be lambda at the power n. So if you calculate this thing, you're going to get a minoration, which is the one written there. I mean, this is total triviality. But it's an important technique, and it was basically the first time people knew to do some kind of minoration of this Lyapunov exponent. Okay. Next remark about the almost Mathieu operator, there is still one important open question, say, physically speaking, one thing that people really would like to know, it's whether the spectrum is a counterset. So they know this only in a few cases. They know it if omega is a Liouville number. They know it if lambda is big, and by the Aubry duality, if lambda is small. Lambda big, this comes from basically the perturbative approach, la Sinai, for instance.
Does that meaning no identity?
Yeah. And of course, it's known if lambda equals 2, because then it's measure 0. Now, the next remark is that the proof of Dieter Miskaya's theorem is very sensitive to the cosine function. And if I would replace cosine theta, say, by cosine theta plus cosine 2 theta, for some reason the argument breaks down. So what we proved in a paper with Goldstein, which appeared a year ago, let me see, is that you can make the same statement with the replacement of cosine theta by any real analytic potential. Say, let's say there are two dimensions here. The lattice still is one dimensional, but what I can do is take V, periodic function, real algebraic, real analytic, on the d-dimensional torus, and then redefine H as lambda V n omega plus theta delta n prime plus Laplacian, where no omega and theta are in the d-dimensional torus. So the theorem, the first theorem which is proven there, is that if we assume, and this is very much in analogy with what happens with the almost Mathieu operator, if we assume that you have positivity of the Lyapunov exponent, and let's be generous, let's assume it for all. So let's assume that lambda is such that you have positivity of the Lyapunov exponent for all omega and for all energies. So this L, this Lyapunov exponent, depends on the potential, depends on omega from its definition, and it will also depend on the energy, of course. So let me write it down like that. L omega E positive for all omega, so for all rotation vectors omega and for all energies E. Then Anderson localization holds. For almost all omega and theta. So that corresponds to the statement for almost Mathieu, because this condition, which is written here, is satisfied if lambda is bigger than 2. In general, if you take d equals 1, if d is equal to 1, there is a theorem of Soret-Spencer which will imply positivity, this conditional positivity of the Lyapunov exponent, say bigger than 1/2 log lambda, for lambda bigger than some lambda 0, dependent only on the potential V. What I assume here is V is real analytic and non-constant, of course, right? Non-constant. So Soret-Spencer theorem gives you what you need, gives you the positivity of the Lyapunov exponent, provided this condition here, lambda is bigger than some lambda 0 V, which for V equals cosine X would simply be 2. Observe also that the technique of Hermann would work for arbitrary trigonometric polynomials, also in several variables. So what remained unclear in the general case of real analytic potentials on a multidimensional torus, so D larger than 1, is whether this thing still holds. So that still holds. But what is interesting is that, the proof is quite, this is a very, very, very recent result. The proof of this result, of course, uses subharmonic function methods, but also uses the arithmetics of omega, although in the final statement there is no omega. This statement holds independent. This is for all energy, I should say, for all energy and for all omega. The proof here does not make use of any arithmetics of omega. There I don't have a simple proof that doesn't use the arithmetics of omega, so it would be very nice to have some kind of digestible proof of this fact. In any case, if you put the facts together, then what you can claim is the following corollary, is that Anderson localization holds for almost all omega and theta if lambda is bigger than lambda zero v, which is a non-perturbative statement.
This is for d bigger than 1.
This d equals 1, well, d equals 1, this is for all d. D bigger than or equal to 1. This is also d bigger than or equal to 1.
Right, but the statement over there doesn't hold for all omega d bigger than 1.
Here? Now, I have the same statement. I have an unconditional statement. So the same statement holds here. This statement, which is here, was proven for d equals 1 by Soret-Spencer. I proved it recently for d greater than 1.
But you need to use the arithmetic.
Yeah, and this is strange, so I'm sure that this is not the right proof, but this proof is quite complicated, I can assure you. And, well, many people prove that try to prove that kind of Hermann worked on it, Spencer worked on it, etc., so it's not an easy job. And maybe I'll tell you a few words about that next time, but maybe not now. So you would say, okay, fine, everything goes the same way for general real analytic and multi-frequencies as for almost Mathieu, except maybe for coexistence. So what you expect using Aubry duality is also the following corollary, say continuous or even absolutely continuous spectrum. For lambda less than lambda 1v. And then possible coexistence when you have intermediate values. Now, that statement was proven, this is in a joint paper with Jitromiskaya, if d is equal to 1, okay. But the funny thing is that if I have a multi-frequency case, this thing is not true. So this is a little bit of a surprise. D bigger than 1 is wrong. What is true is a perturbative statement which will tell you that if I fix an epsilon, then I can, this was known from before, I can choose lambda bigger than lambda 1 dependent on V and on epsilon, such that then I have the statement about absolutely continuous spectrum, provided omega is taken outside a set which complement is at most of measure epsilon. A set which, of course, will depend on V and on lambda. So in the non-perturbative statement, this thing is wrong, and the reason... How much time do we have? 0? 5 minutes. I'm going much faster than I was expecting. So in any case... what you can show is the following thing, which is rather cute. At least, since this is the theme of the conference, it shows you some distinction between dimensions. I mean, if I would have spoken about random Schrödinger operators, there would have been much more. But even here, there is some distinction. At least there is a distinction between dimension d equals 1 and dimension d equals 2. Again, what we are referring here is the dimension of the dynamics, not the dimension of the Schrödinger operator. We are still working on Z, right? So this is the following fact. And let's call this a remark. It's not a trivial remark. Maybe call it a theorem. Assume that V on T2 has a non-degenerate maximum. For instance, I can take for Vx cosine x1 plus cosine x2, something like that, right? Then, there is a set omega of positive measure, small but positive measure, such that the operator H omega equals V n omega 1 n omega 2 delta n prime plus Laplacian has some point spectrum P which closure has positive measure. So this situation is significantly different than what happens with an almost Mathieu, for instance, because if instead of writing here lambda cosine n omega, I would write for V, if I would write, for instance, for V, lambda cosine theta 1 plus cosine theta 2, well, no matter how small is lambda, you're not going to get purely absolutely continuous spectrum because there will be some component of pure point spectrum. So this is definitely something which depends on the number of frequencies which are present in the dynamics. Now, the case of, let me just finish with that. The case of a dynamics on Z2 is significantly more difficult. In the case we are looking for the Z2 lattice, for instance, so what we are talking about now is an H of the form lambda V, say n, let me drop the theta for simplicity, n1 omega 1, n2 omega 2 on the diagonal, plus Laplacian. This is the lattice Laplacian on Z2, which is defined the same way. So delta n prime equals 1 if the Hamming distance of n and n prime is equal to 1. And zero otherwise. So you have your off diagonal, which is 1, provided you just change by 1 unit, either the first or the second coordinate. Now, from the result which is written here, and obliduality, what is easy to see is that you cannot expect non-perturbative localization results for this kind of guy. In fact, already, when you would take the simple model V theta 1 theta 2 equals cosine theta 1 plus theta 2, well, if you do obliduality, you pass to the dual model, then what you're going to get, well, I would put a lambda here, what you're going to get is basically this guy with the 4 over lambda or 8 over lambda, 6, 4 over lambda, something like that. Now, because of the presence of some point spectrum here, no matter what is this lambda, what's going to happen is that no matter how big you take the lambda here, you're still going to get some extended states. So it's not like that you can expect pure point spectrum for all sufficiently large lambda and almost all omega. But still, what is true is that if I assume V, so V is real analytic, is non-constant, and moreover, I assume some kind of non-degeneracy. I assume that it's non-constant on each of the horizontal and vertical sections. So, what I want is a potential V on T2 which is not constant on each in each of the variables theta 1, theta 2. If you fix the other variable, then in this context, you have a non-perturbative theorem. You have a perturbative theorem, so lambda bigger than lambda epsilon and omega outside the set of measured most epsilon. for Anderson localization, which is in a way optimal because of the observation I made you there. What the point I want to make is that at this point, at this time, the result is not proven for Z3 because of certain arithmetics which is involved, and somehow there is a problem, at least looks like a technical problem, but still it's not, it has not been done in higher dimension. If you are interested in that, this is a paper which just appeared in the last issue of ACTA, where you find the details of that. So I will continue next time if you are still interested with say some other aspects and maybe some hints of the arguments. Okay, thank you.
Questions or comments?